for us today, and thank you for your attendance and staff and visitors as well. Madam Clerk, would you read the first item, item number one?
From the Interim Director Employee Benefits, requesting an amendment to Section 201.24 sub 8.2 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances as it pertains to membership on the Pension Board. This item was also referred to the Committees on Finance and Audit and Personnel. And at our January meeting, we amended this item and laid it over. And the other committees also did the same.
So, Madam Clerk, the item that's stapled to our, that doesn't have an item number in the top left, this is what we acted on last time before we laid it over?
Correct. At Finance and Audit's meeting last week, they approved this item with Amendment 2 incorporated by a vote of 4-2. The Personnel Committee at its meeting on Friday approved this item with Amendment 1 incorporated by a vote of 7-0.
Well, it'll take a few minutes to go through and understand just what that all means wordsmithing-wise. Perhaps if we ask both our analyst, Mr. Session, and our counsel, Mr. Grady, to maybe help us walk through here briefly so that we're all on the same page of understanding.
Mr. Chairman, it might be beneficial if we have Mr. Hanchek kind of go through the recommended changes to the Pension Board membership, and then we can talk about the changes that have been done at the committee level.
I think that sounds reasonable.
The members?
Everybody agree with that? All right. Please, Mr. Hanchek, introduce yourself for those who are listening in today, please.
Mr. Chairman, Matt Hanchek. I'm the Benefits Administrator from Milwaukee County.
Good morning, and thank you.
This has been before a number of committees a few times now. What it basically does is it seeks to clean up some of the ordinance language for the definition of term limits, the voting threshold required for the Pension Board to take action to make it basically more akin to the requirements of the County Board, and a little more in line with what you typically see in Robert's Rules. It also adds an amendment that was approved that would require serving members to basically not have any ethical violations, criminal misconduct in order to be eligible for the board, and it also disqualifies any member of the employee retirement system staff from serving on the pension board due to what I feel is a fairly clear conflict of interest.
Okay. So when I look at this document, we see sections that are underlined. That would be the sections that were the amendment to the original language. Perhaps Mr. Grady can chime in on that.
If you're willing to listen to me talk for a few minutes, I think I can walk you through all the various changes.
That would be fabulous. Thank you.
Starting with the one with the line numbering on it, I think you all have in your packet. This was the original proposal, and the underlining, of course, are the amended language, or is the amended language. Just to go through it piece by piece, the first section of underlining in pages, or lines 55 through 58, basically it's just a clarification that we have a term limit that already exists of 2 3-year terms for any member who's elected or appointed.
Yes.
And we've had people fill the partial terms. They get appointed in the middle, have special elections, whatever. And so this is just to clarify that those don't count. Okay. So people can serve a partial term and then they still have 2 full-year terms. It also clarifies another situation we've had where people have finished their 2 3-year terms, but their successor has not been appointed yet, and they've continued to serve as a holdover while they're waiting for the successor. This provision eliminates that so that once your terms are done, you are done. And if your successor is not appointed, it's just a vacancy on the board at that point. So that's the first section. The next section, at lines 62 to 67, basically says that for elected or appointed members, you have to have certain qualifications to hold that position when you start, when you're appointed or when you're elected. So, for example, for an employee who's elected, you have to be an employee. You can't be a retiree. A retiree who's elected has to be a retiree. Mm-hmm. An appointed member has to have certain financial qualifications, financial literacy qualifications, has to have a lack of conflicts of interest with respect to family members not being members of the pension system. So those qualifications have to be there upon appointment. This language basically just says not only do they have to be there upon appointment, but they have to be there throughout your service. So if you are qualified when elected or qualified when appointed, you have to continue to stay that way. So that if something happens during your term, again, an example, an employee who retires, they're no longer an employee, they're no longer qualified for the position, and they are off the board at that point. Mm-hmm. An appointed member who is appointed, and during their term, a family member joins the county and joins the retirement system, they are off the board. Or if they change jobs and go to an investment management firm that is doing work with the county, they are off immediately. So the point is you have qualifications at the start, and you keep them throughout the term. So that's the second section of that.
Okay.
The next section that's on pages 90 through or lines 90 through 91 is the exclusion for employees in the retirement system from being elected members of the pension board. Mm-hmm. This was what Mr. Hanchick just referred to a minute ago. It's the conflict of interest that's created by having employees of the retirement system sitting on the pension board and then overseeing their boss as a member of the pension board. It just creates difficulties for
sure,
like that word.
Mm-hmm.
The last section of the original proposal, the last amendment, is on lines 107 to 108. This changes a voting requirement. The pension board has had this voting requirement for many years that currently says you must have 5 affirmative votes in order to do anything, to make a decision on anything. Regardless of how many members are present, if there's 5 present or if there's 9 present, you must have 5 affirmative votes. And this loosens that a little bit, not as far as Robert's rules would go, but it loosens it a little bit. It takes it down to a majority of those present, but no less than 4 votes are required. So you have the scenario where a quorum is 5 and there's only 5 people there, a 4-to-1 vote is sufficient. There's 6 people there, a 4-to-2 vote is sufficient to take action. 7 people, a 4-to-3 vote is sufficient to take action. If 8 people are there, it requires 5-to-3, and 9, 5-to-4. Mm-hmm. And so it's not quite what Roberts would provide, which would be a majority period of those present. But this is a majority, but no less than 4.
And if I can ask a question, were there instances over the last several years where it was forcing a unanimous 100% of those attending, and then it was impossible or very difficult to get items passed, and it kept delaying for
We've had
period after period?
A couple of occasions in the last year or two where things have had to be laid over because of an inability to get 5 unanimous votes or 5 out of 6, for example.
Okay.
And so I don't think this will be utilized often, but that was the reason behind it.
Okay. Thanks
so then the first amendment that was adopted last prior cycle of the county board was amendment number 1. This was offered by Supervisor Thomas, and this added language, and I don't have line numbering anymore, but it added language in the third paragraph that precluded any member from being eligible to serve or
it's incorporated.
Okay. Sorry. It's lines 79 to 82. Precludes anyone from serving on the pension board who has been found to have violated a lobbying or ethics code provision of any governmental body in the state of Wisconsin, or any crime of misconduct in office or dishonesty or theft.
Mm-hmm.
And the Finance Committee and the Personnel Committee both adopted that amendment. You reviewed that at your prior meeting as part of the package.
Mm-hmm.
But then with that amendment, it was laid over to the current cycle.
Mm-hmm.
The Finance Committee, then, if you go to Amendment Number 2,
okay.
Supervisor Mayo offered Amendment Number 2, which the Finance Committee adopted. The changes here in the first paragraph are in bold type and double underlined. The first set of changes really is just not a substantive change. He just asked that the language be made even clearer than it already was, that a partial term doesn't count. So this is just a language change to even reinforce what was already there before. I'm going to skip for a moment. At the very bottom of this, you'll see it deletes Section 2 of the original proposal. What that means is this amendment deletes the change in the voting requirement and takes us back to the requirement to have 5 votes for any decision. So that changes the original proposal in that respect. If you go back to the front page then in the first paragraph, it incorporates that change in that last sentence. Then with respect to the amendment that Supervisor Thomas had offered and had been adopted in the prior cycle.
At which committee again?
Both Finance and Personnel.
Okay.
It made one change to that language by deleting the words ethics or. And so it allows someone who has had a violation of an ethic ordinance to continue to serve on the pension board. It kept the rest of the language, but allowed someone with an ethics violation to continue to serve.
So again, that was approved by which committees?
That was approved by Finance Committee.
This is Finance, okay.
And then one last change on the backside on subparagraph C. In addition, it made two changes here. In addition to disqualifying employees of the retirement system from being elected members of the pension board, it broadens that disqualification to include employees of the Human Resources Department and employees of Corporation Council. So now employees of all those departments are disqualified. And then it also makes that change prospective only. So it's only for future elections, not retroactive to any incumbent that's in the position now.
So that would exclude all employees, not just management or administrators.
Correct.
So even a basic entry-level staff person could
yes.
serve during their employment in those departments.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And so Finance Committee adopted all of those changes. Personnel Committee, on the other hand, rejected this amendment and stayed with the original proposal with Amendment Number 1. Now, the last complication is not officially out, but Supervisor Mayo has discussed actually changing his Amendment Number 2
yes.
to reinsert the ethics disqualification that had been stricken before, but to make it prospective also, so that someone who is found to have violated an ethics provision in a governmental code would be precluded from serving, but it would not. This provision would not be retroactive. It would not affect anyone there now. It would only start with elections and appointments after April 1st. He has not offered this yet. He's discussed offering it on the board floor today, but I wanted you to be aware of that as a possible alternative that's coming.
So that's informational for us at this time. Questions by members of the committee for our staff, please?
Just one question. He changed it from the 4 bullets to the 5 bullets on the
seat. It's only in the very last line in bold face on the back. It says delete section 2 of the ordinances. And that is that section.
That's what I would recommend. You take amendment number 3, but leave the 4 bullets.
You want pieces of each,
right.
Basically.
Otherwise, I think it's fine. Otherwise, put back the 4 books and number that being an issue at one or 2 meetings.
So your thought is that you like the proposed amendment number 3, but with the original proposal to change the voting requirement back to a majority or 4. You can certainly provide that advice. The county board can take it or leave it, obviously, but that's your advice, if that's the commission's thought.
Okay. Other questions about the overview, and then we'll gather any other interest if what we just heard might be something we can build upon, or if there's other committee members that had an alternative idea.
When is the election?
Well, right now there is no elections. Well, there'll be an election next for the employees next February, January, February. But it wouldn't, and then for the retirees, I think it's about 2 years from now.
And there was one woman in particular that Supervisor Mayo had alluded to was being
yes.
kind of pushed out.
His proposal would allow her to serve her 3-year term, but would prevent her from being reelected.
Even though she met the qualifications as of today, as we have them, with this change, that would preclude her from going further.
It would preclude her from being reelected, because the way it's written is effective with elections occurring after April 1st, whether it's that month or 2 years from now, that prohibition applies. the disqualification from working in the retirement office, assuming she's still working in the retirement office.
Okay.
And the same would be true if Amendment Number 3 is offered and accepted with respect to the ethics provision and the lobbying and disqualification for crimes, et cetera. That has the same prospective application. So there is a current member, retiree, who would be disqualified from an additional, after he finishes his term, he would be disqualified from running again based on this prospective application. If it's passed as adopted by finance, by personnel, he would be disqualified immediately, as would the other individual be disqualified immediately.
Other questions or comments at this time? Well, we've heard one suggestion by a committee member that maybe we take a look and consider discussing and perhaps approving parts of the not yet proposed amendment to give a heads up to the board that we took a look at things, we considered, and maybe this is a good way to go if the board wants to so do it. So we'd have ability to weigh in and share that.
Doesn't it have to be put forward by the supervisor first, though? Just because he authored it and said he may do it doesn't mean that he can take it up.
We're a unique entity that perhaps we could ask Mr. Grady to chime in a little bit, because we're a little different than just about any other committee. So, Mr. Supervisor Thomas, if you'll allow just for a digression here for a minute, clarification perhaps by a corp counsel.
It's my feeling as a pension study commission that this body is able to not only consider the specific proposal before it, but to put forth its own ideas. So, for example, take it out of this context. If you had a proposal to change benefits in some fashion in front of you, you obviously have to report on that proposal. But your report back could also say, we think a third alternative is better. I mean, you aren't going to draft legislation. You're just making recommendations in a policy, real broad policy sense. And so it is a policy study commission. And so I think you have the ability to, even if you don't like any of these ideas, to come up with another one and just say, we think the board should consider a different idea.
I understand and that, so, but this is authored by Supervisor Mayo. This isn't by this committee.
I mean, no, that's correct.
That changes
correct.
The whole intent. So if the committee wants to say that, I think that's appropriate.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, Amendment Number 3, I don't think should be before this body.
Thank you, Supervisor. We've got a warm day today and a couple of warm ideas in front of us, too. If we go
well, maybe
to a strict interpretation.
If I could suggest.
Please do.
What I heard at least Commissioner Cohen say is that he essentially likes the ideas in the original proposal with the Amendment Number 1. And so I guess the question is, what was it about Amendment Number 3 that you liked different from the original?
Just the ethics.
But that's in the original proposal with Amendment 1.
With yes.
That was what was in front of you last month.
Okay.
As amended through Amendment Number 1.
So you would recommend approving the
Amendment Number 1,
that as amended through it? Amendment Number 1, which is what personnel did
correct
last week.
So this is Amendment Number 1 separate from, and there it's incorporated, but this is what we did last cycle. So I don't know
which
your
would
ethics
be with the double underline.
It's just the bottom of the first page, top
yeah,
first
I'm
page.
Fine with that.
So you would basically be saying you would concur with personnel's action, personnel committee's action.
Okay.
Other questions or comments by members of this committee? Pleasure of the committee. Would anyone prefer to make a motion at this time? Or we just heard one? Okay, I apologize. I remember Mr. Cohen to concur with the actions of the personnel committee with Amendment Number 1, substitute Amendment Number 1. How do we title it? Just
no, as amended.
As amended.
Correct.
And approved by personnel.
We did adopt the amendment or recommended the amendment at our last meeting in January. So now we'd be approving it as amended through January.
It's basically the original proposal with Supervisor Thomas's addition.
Yes. Other discussion on the motion today before us? Hearing none. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on approval.
Thomas?
No.
Eaton?
Yes.
Cohen?
Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
3 ayes, 1 no. The motion to concur with the actions of the Personnel Committee and approve this item as amendment with Amendment 1 incorporated is approved.
This concludes everything on the agenda. Is there anything from board staff as to the likelihood of us reconvening in the near future or in the distant future, or no knowledge of that at this time?
To my knowledge, there are no other pending pension changes, so that this commission probably will not need to meet again before the end of the term.
However, I see a hand raised.
Before the end of the term, I would agree with. I was just thinking ahead.